540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Bucks win their season opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won a thriller at Fiserv Forum, the final 118-117 over the Philadelphia 76ers. The Bucks jumped out to an early lead, but Philly came back in the fourth quarter. Giannis had 23 points and 13 rebounds.
We were up, then they came back, then we were up, they came back. You know, I felt we could take care of the ball better, take the game away from them when we were up 18 or we were up 12 or something, I don't remember. But we're going to come back, we're going to be better.
Damian Lillard scored 39 points, setting a new team record for a debut.
It wasn't them telling me, you got to score, you got to do this. It was just, you know, they trust my judgment. They inbounded it to Giannis. I was just kind of reading him like, you know, what you want to do. And he was like, come get the ball.
Adrian Griffin gets the win in his first game as the head coach and gave the credit to Lillard.
You just got a sense during the game he wasn't going to let us lose. What can I say? You know, he was incredible.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Overcast today with scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs around 66. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, 33. Tomorrow, high of 45. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The search for the suspect in Wednesday's mass shootings in Maine has expanded from New York to Canada. Tyler Barnard's brother was one of the 18 killed at Chemangi's Bar.
He definitely should be gone forever, regardless of whatever way it is.
Officials say the suspect had been threatening to kill people for months. The Defense Department says U.S. forces hit targets in eastern Syria overnight. CBS's David Martin at the Pentagon.
A senior military official said, "We hit precisely what we aimed at." The strikes were intended as a warning to Iran to order the militias it supports not to conduct more attacks on American locations.
Those attacks connected to Israel's war with Hamas. Hometown fans are pumped ahead of tonight's opening of the World Series in Arlington between Texas and Arizona.
This team is going all the way. World Series, Texas Rangers, calling it right here.
I truly think this is our year. This is it.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, Earl. We made it to Friday.
Yeah, man. By the way, man, come and join the Voices of the Elders on tomorrow as we give out Halloween candy.
Oh, it might be a little chilly, but it looks like the sun's going to be out.
Yeah, we're going to be out, and we're going to, you know, we got a lot of candy that we're going to be giving out to kids.
Where are you doing it?
We're going to do it at Well Point.
Oh, yeah.
In the parking lot at Well Point. So we're kind of excited about the first event that we're going to be doing to introduce ourselves, Sandy, to the community, and really excited about it.
What time?
1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So, you know. But anyway, if you're just joining us, that's Sandy Williams, my co-host, now Tuesdays and
Fridays.
And so how you doing, Sandy?
I'm doing all right. I told you I went to the Bucks game last night, watched the new Bucks. And it was a good outcome. I left actually early just because of the traffic and what have you. And they were comfortably in the lead when I left. It turned around on them.
They're a completely different team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like they've completely changed.
Well, they were explosive. They had bursts of scoring. It was just, it was different. You could tell they're playing much more aggressively in the transition game. They're going to score more points as a result.
Oh, and Chris Middleton did not really, I mean, he played 13 minutes. He really is a guy who we know what he can do. Excuse me, if he's healthy. And all I could do is imagine what happens when he gets healthy. And they got a guard against that bowling ball, otherwise known as Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully Giannis's games will get better than they were. But I was not a fan of his play last night.
No,
but,
man.
But, you know, I was a fan of some. They look like they've got a deep bench, Marshawn.
Oh.
Beauchamp looked good. He was good on defense. It looks like he might pick up the slack from Holiday for taking on the high scorer. And he himself is a good scorer. I think they've got a different, and I think it's a better team.
Exciting. It's more of an exciting team. Yeah. I can tell you that all you keep hearing about is they're going to miss Drew Holiday, his defense. And yeah, you know, you're going to miss Drew Holiday's defense. But my goodness, Damian Lillard's offense offsets whatever they're talking about with that defense.
Yeah, he's the real deal.
The guy scored 39 points last night, man.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought the coach today was doing a good job of putting in different groups of personnel to see how things worked.
Right.
What would work defensively. I think Payne, this guy I didn't know anything about, looks like a good defender.
He is a great defender.
And so I think they're going to be very good.
What's the other guy's name, Calvin? He's number five.
Malik Beasley.
Beasley, yeah. Beasley's another guy we didn't get to see. He's a phenomenal scorer.
Yeah.
You know, they have good size. So anyway, they kicked off the season. It went really well last night. The crowd must have been jacked, huh?
Yeah, it was fun. It was good, and it was very expensive to park. So I knew it was crowded.
I know. Well, I think the last time I went to see Dave Chappelle a couple of weeks ago, and the parking was $45.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess they depend on what the outcome is. They change the price of the parking.
Right. It's like an auction.
and yet they're still full, right?
It was full.
Yeah. So anyways, a lot to talk about, Sandy. I want to begin, man, with the horrible, horrible shooting in Maine. And the fact, Sandy, that this guy's a military guy, been trained. They knew this guy had some psychological issues. And I thought we had some tools in place that when somebody like him has been exposed as having some psychological issues, you can somehow take their weapons.
Well, you know, there have been efforts to create legislation, laws, regulations that would allow for a red flag kind of a situation. Step in, take the gun.
I thought we had that.
But the NRA and the Second Amendment people step in and say, this is a slippery slope. You know, let's worry about this. And so they've put a tight rein on the capacity to preemptively move in and take a weapon. And it would require basically a court action or some official kind of process. So it isn't just people are suspicious and the gun gets taken away. It takes more than that. And, you know, the thing about guns, there's this group Trace that has come out with some papers very quickly talking about gun violence and the danger of gun violence. And to me, the most telling thing that they came out with is the how sad every household should be when somebody in the household buys a gun and brings it into the household, because the most likely human being to get killed with that gun is somebody in the household, and the most likely way they will die is suicide. Suicide is by far the most likely cause of gun death for a human by a long shot. And the number of times that a criminal gets killed in the act of perpetrating a crime by a victim with a gun is infinitesimal. That's the least likely outcome. It's the least likely kind of homicide or human death that will occur from that gun.
Well, you know, Sandy, they do a good job of hiding those statistics, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to me, you know, I got guns, hunting. You know, when I was growing up, the NRA was all about hunting, and hunting was fine.
Right.
Hunting is fine. But the notion that we should have 400 million guns and 20 million assault rifles, and when we think about how those guns will be deployed and how it is that they aren't intended to kill animals, not the only animals they're intended to kill, most of them, are humanoids.
So 1994 to 2004, Sandy, they had assault bans on these high-powered rifles. We forget. Historically, it's been done in our country. We had those bans, and there were statistics that will bear out that it worked. Okay? So how is it now that we seem to act as though it's impossible to get that ban again?
Well, apparently, assault rifles are a fundamental constitutional right. You know, why? What is an assault rifle going to be used for that was constitutionally divined for it? 20 million of them have sold, most of them since that ban was lifted, incidentally. There were very few assault rifles in circulation at the time of that ban. It was lifted, and assault rifles have become one of the most profitable areas for gun manufacturers, right? So it's an expensive gun to buy, but, you know, I took a antique Colt 45s that belonged to my great-grandfather. I took them in to get refurbished because they're really just for display.
Right.
I'm in a gun shop, and over on one wall is a whole wall of assault rifles, and they're all for sale, and there are people in the gun shop, And at least half of the people in the gun shop
looking to buy
were over looking at the ARs and looking to buy them.
You know, this guy, Sandy, was a trained, this latest guy, a trained guy who knows his way around.
Well, in fact, the All Points Bulletin is basically shelter at home, that this guy that's at large is dangerous. He's trained with an AR-15, you know, but, you know, anyone armed with an AR-15 is dangerous.
And they said that he's got pockets full of ammunition. So, you know, he's clearly a guy who now the only thing that you can really hope for, and, you know, I hope people don't take this the wrong way, is that he takes his own life.
Well, that's the sorry thing. Most serial killers end up taking their own life. They should, instead of taking their own life last, they should start there. Okay, if that's the outcome
right.
they're headed for. But, you know, suicide's a terrible thing. But like I said before, the most likely person to get killed with a gun is a person holding the gun themselves, shooting themselves. And it's most likely to be a person in the family of the gun owner.
You know, Sandy, this guy clearly, when you see this stuff on footage, and you see the guy walking in and he's got this gun and he's shooting at children, Sandy, in the bowling alley. That was kids that were.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard an interview of a young girl that's like 10 saying, I never thought I got shot in the leg. Whoever thought I'd get shot in the leg? Why do people shoot people in the leg? You know, she was like just an innocent, just a surprised innocent.
So Sandy, people can say, well, it's about the mentally ill people, right? And that's what the gun owners and the people who support this are saying.
Yeah, you know, and, people kill people, not yeah, guns kill people.
But Sandy, well, my yeah. response will be, they're mentally ill people in other nations
yeah.
as well, but they don't have access to AR-15s. So it does matter, right? I mean, you
of
can't
course.
Say...
Of course, people with guns kill people. People without guns have a lot more trouble killing people. And there are, you know, I don't know whether America is ridden with a lot more insanity than other countries, but I doubt whether the numbers are very different.
Right.
So we have mental issues, some of which will drive people to violence, but people with mental issues driven to violence carrying an AR-15 can do some horrible things.
No question at all. And that's the way people have to look at this. For all of you who say it's the mental illness is the issue and is the problem. Again, mental illness is all over the world. They're not shooting up people like that in these other nations because they don't have access to the AR-15. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You can join the conversation. We'll be right back.
The Shaw, WAUK. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
I think Mick Jagger's a month younger than I am.
Do you know the tune?
This one?
Yeah. What is it?
What?
The name of this tune.
Oh, the name of it. Yeah, I don't think I ever knew the name of it.
Is it Get Off My Cloud?
Yeah, Get Off My Cloud.
Yeah. Well, Mick Jagger, you're...
He's my age, exactly. He went to the London School of Economics.
So why does he look so vain? Oh, maybe we'll. Hey, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. My co-host Sandy Williams. You look a lot better than he does, man.
Well, he's been through a lot.
Hey, he's been dragged through a keyhole, huh?
His odometer has spun a lot faster than mine.
You sure they didn't turn his back?
Oh, they keep trying to talk
back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. I forgot how to even do this. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And let's go to the phone lines. David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Really quickly, I just wanted to, I think it's an excellent topic to bring up. And I do agree with you, Earl, just so you know, with the AR-15, I do not think that should be out for the general public to purchase. I just don't. That's the weapon of choice when they want to slaughter a lot of people. We know this. But I would like to say what makes Maine interesting, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Sandy. Are you aware that Maine has something called the yellow flag law there?
Is that with respect to people?
That's a question to you.
Yeah, no, I'm not aware of what that is, but I presume it has to do with mental infirmity and the ability to step in and remove a gun.
So the difference between yellow flag and red flag. So red flag, a family individual could go to a judge and say, hey, listen, you know what? My family member seems a little off the hook here, you know, take his firearms away. And one of the reasons why conservatives in particular have an issue with this is because there's not a due process per se in that situation. With the yellow flag law, you have both police. The police are the one that have to make the request, and that individual also has to get a mental evaluation. And so it's been used numerous times in the state of Maine. It was enacted in 2020. And I should mention to you, essentially, in order to get to the judge to confirm, what has to be done is there has to be consensus with the mental, whoever's doing the medical treatment, whatever, that they would be the ones along with the police to go and say, hey, listen, this person is a danger.
Dave, let me just cut you off a little bit, because I have a schizophrenic member in my family. It's an in-law, but I've been in close contact with people with mental infirmities. Plus, I've read in the newspaper the reactions of the public. In many of these mass shootings, the person who does the shooting, the people around them say, oh, my God, I'm so surprised. I didn't see that coming. So, you know, I do think that these red, and I know that the circumstance of trying to get the wheels of justice to move with respect to people with mental infirmity is very, very difficult, very difficult. To try and get the wheels of justice to protect someone against from themselves. The pendulum has swung way in the direction of rights for the mentally impaired. Right. And I understand that, but we should all understand that with the pendulum swung that far, these so-called judicial remedies are not very easy to access and very hard to implement.
So, Sandy, you would be absolutely correct. Again, I have a son that's mentally ill, and trying to get him in front of a judge, and we're not talking about somebody who is carrying an AR-15.
Yeah.
The fact that these rules and laws that they put in place, Sandy, how the chances of you getting in front of a judge, Sandy, with a case like that is almost impossible.
Well, and you understand that the dynamics in a family are such that taking one of your family members into court to get the court to order them to do something is a family dynamic that's very difficult to overcome.
And so they created these laws with that in mind, knowing that there are not going to be a lot of people who are going to wind up, you know.
Well, I just think that the gun laws, the United States version of the right to own a gun has become so
sacred
and yeah. outlandish, okay, that the right to it overwhelms all other rights, and it's pretty frightening, actually, because most guns, handguns, for instance, are not used for hunting. They aren't accurate. You won't kill the prey that you want to kill. And AR-15s aren't used for hunting either. So these things are used for human purposes. And the sorry thing about guns is that they result in tragedy to the extent that they get used for the purpose for which they were intended, which is essentially using against a human being. They almost always involve a sad tragedy, not a crime, but a tragedy.
So Sandy, after, why is it always after these things and people mention the guns and people on the right then come back and say, this is not a time to talk about guns?
Right.
When is it ever a time to talk about guns?
Well, the United States and our version of the right to guns under the Second Amendment has evolved dramatically from what it was in 1940 to what it is in 2023. And this new version of the right to own a gun, the sacred right, and particularly the AR-15 right, smells a lot like the right to own a gun to commit essentially sedition, to defend yourself against the government when they come to impose laws on you that you decide aren't justified as far as you're concerned personally. That's a big part of the AR-15 movement in terms of people talking about the right to bear an arm like the AR-15. It's to defend yourself against your government. Well, that's all part of the erosion of our government and of the respect of our government.
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. That's my co-host, Sandy Williams. You can join us. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Weather experts say climate change is making October nights in the Midwest feel warmer more often than not. A new analysis from the nonprofit Climate Central says fall evening temperatures in the U.S. have warmed by nearly 2 degrees on average since 1970. In Madison and Milwaukee, it's closer to 4 degrees. Scientists say mosquitoes are thriving and people with respiratory issues like asthma are suffering. A committee in the state assembly held a public hearing Thursday on a bill that would fine public universities for violating someone's free speech. Under the bill, any Universities of Wisconsin school that is found by a court of violating someone's free speech will get a $500 fine. The school would also be charged $50 a day if the violation continues. If passed by the legislature, the bill would almost certainly be vetoed by Governor Evers. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Police in Oconomowoc are assuring the public that there is no need for panic as they proceed with active shooter training at Meadowview Elementary today. As part of that training, you may see officers with tactical gear alongside firefighters and paramedics. The training session follows an incident in Germantown where police shot and killed a man during an active shooter situation. Oconomowoc police are trying to ensure that people are not alarmed by the presence of law enforcement. Milwaukee police are treating the death of a 5-year-old boy as a homicide after his body was found in a dumpster on the city's northwest side. The young boy, Prince McCree, had gone missing Wednesday morning. Two people, a 27-year-old man and a 15-year-old boy, have been arrested in connection with the case. The cause of the boy's death remains unknown. The medical examiner is still investigating. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Bucks win their season opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won a thriller at Fiserv Forum, the final 118-117 over the Philadelphia 76ers. The Bucks jumped out to an early lead, but Philly came back in the fourth quarter. Giannis had 23 points and 13 rebounds.
We were up, then they came back, then we were up, they came back. You know, I felt we could take care of the ball better, take the game away from them when we were up 18 or we were up 12 or something, I don't remember. But we're going to come back, we're going to be better.
Damian Lillard scored 39 points, setting a new team record for a debut.
It wasn't them telling me, you got to score, you got to do this. It was just, you know, they trust my judgment. They inbounded it to Giannis. I was just kind of reading him like, you know, what you want to do. And he was like, come get the ball.
Adrian Griffin gets the win in his first game as the head coach and gave the credit to Lillard.
You just got a sense during the game he wasn't going to let us lose. What can I say? You know, he was incredible.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let...
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Overcast today with scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs around 66. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, 33. Tomorrow, high of 45. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Still, I need you
more than ever.
come back. Earl Ingram Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. So Sandy, the GDP.
GDP.
Yeah.
Gross domestic product.
Yeah.
Which means you add up all the earnings that every part of the economy have. You add it all up, and that's the gross domestic product.
Came in at 4.9.
Yeah.
Now, I remember when Donald Trump was the president, and he was bragging about a 2.6.
Yeah, yeah. He kept claiming, I can get this up to 4, and I don't know whether he ever had a quarter that got all the way to 4, but this most recent quarter report for the GDP growth is very robust. I mean, almost 5%. That's at the level that China is currently experiencing.
So how do you?
Well, there's, first of all, the injection of money into the economy that was done through the Inflation Reduction Act. And
it's still having an impact?
Oh, yeah, it's having an impact because the level of manufacturing and investment is at a near-term, all-time high. I mean, by near-term, not all-time forever, but near-term. And most of that investment is in the sectors that the Inflation Reduction Act was aimed at, which was renewable energy, batteries, electric facilities, and clean energy. Okay? And there's been a great deal of investment in the last period in those sectors in manufacturing, okay? And our economy is only about 20% manufacturing, but it's been a big input into that 20%. 70% of our economy is consumption, based on consumption. And most of the GDP growth can be pegged at the fact that consumption in the United States has gone up. Real earnings in the United States are going up. We have inflation. But for the last while, we've had salary growth, earnings growth, that has been in excess of the rate of inflation. So the real value of earnings has gone up, which has provided more of capacity to consume. The pandemic built up a pent-up demand when there was a shortage of everything, and that pent-up demand is still being satisfied. So we have a high level of consumption now. Somewhat of an increase in the use of credit for it, but primarily we have very healthy earnings and a very healthy employment, salary, earnings side to our economy, which drives consumption. And we also have currently high investment in manufacturing.
So you're saying Bidenomics is working?
Well, Bidenomics does seem, if we want to attribute economic outcomes to the administration, then you'd have to, if the Trump administration wanted to take credit for what was going on during its administration, the Biden administration can do the same. It is true, however, that there does seem to be some direct connection between some of the Bidenomics legislation and the sectors of the economy which are currently thriving, which are the ones I described.
So at the same time, Sandy, it's like an oxymoron. There are people you and I talk about all the time who are missing out on all of this.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Well, I think that's the sad thing about our economy is you can look at averages. The average wealth in the economy has gone up dramatically. That's because the wealth of the top 10% has gone up very dramatically, and the average includes that top 10%. Median income has gone up some. Not anywhere near as rapidly as the average income, not anywhere, median wealth has gone up some, not anywhere near as much as average wealth, which tells you that the top part, which is drawing up the average number, is not reflected so much in the median and submedian part of our economy. So the median income in the economy is that income which is earned by the very middle number of people. So half of the families in the United States earn the median income or less. And people earning at or near the median today are still living paycheck to paycheck, are still living in fear of a catastrophic illness, are still not able to pay their student debt back without a huge burden, are still in a situation where it's harder to earn to buy a home. And in fact, if you look at the data about the American dream of home ownership has become more difficult for the median family.
So let's go to the phone lines, and Brian from Maguanago. Good morning to you, Brian. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
I actually have a question because this morning I saw a headline about GDP surges in spending or what have something along the lines of that. And I was just curious about if there is a portion of that, the increased spending, because everything costs more. Does that I don't feel like a lot of people that I know anyway this money spent.
Hey, Brian, repeat the last sentence.
Well, I think what he said was that he doesn't know a lot of people who are benefiting from their higher income. And to be honest with you, Brian, I'm going to have to look this up during a break. I'm not sure whether GDP is normalized for inflation, GDP growth. But it could be that inflation is reflected to some extent in GDP. But I do know that the normalized GDP, normalized for inflation, is still growing at a very rapid rate. And I'm going to do some checking to see whether this new 4.9% is a normalized number. I believe it is. I believe it is, because otherwise almost all of that growth would be inflation and inflation only.
You know, Sandy, us dudes, go to the phone lines before I go back to you. Cindy from Appleton, good morning to you, Cindy. You say what?
Well, since the top 1%, 10% are making more money than they'll know what to do with in 10 lifetimes, I wish that the government could raise the taxes for those people at least 50 to 60%. It doesn't have to go back to the 90% it was many, many moons ago, but at least 75%. And then they could take that money and give it to the people who are getting Social Security another $200 or $300 a month, and that would bring up everybody. And I know how much that would help a lot of people on Social Security. I wish they would start evening out the situation, because we all do better when we all do better.
Cindy, thank you very much for the call. Cindy?
Well, absolutely. And I do think as well that the minimum income notion has to be reevaluated. Minimum income should be a living wage. And we had so many people that minimum dollarly compensation, we have so many people who are working full time on an hourly basis. And if you're working full time, your hourly pay, if you're an employer, you would look at your employees and believe that you should be paying them enough to live on the compensation you're giving them for essentially the 100% of their working available time. And unfortunately, in today's world, the minimum wage laws don't reflect living wages.
Well, Sandy, there are people who don't think we should be our brother's keeper. And I don't think it's a matter of whether or not we should be our brother's keeper. I think it matters that families in the United States should be given an opportunity to at least, Sandy, take advantage of some of the things that our country offers, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I keep coming back to the median family, and the median family has two breadwinners. The median family has, in Wisconsin, is earning about $65,000 a year, and that's two breadwinners. So if they are each earning the same, they're earning $33,000 a year for 40 hours a week of work. They're not individually earning a living wage. Okay. $33,000 a year is not a living wage for a family. It's not a wage that could ever earn you enough to buy a home or to participate in the American dream. And so, and furthermore, because we now are two income earning households, we need child daycare. Our children are no longer have a stay at home.
Well,
parent.
You need insurance, because $33,000 does not afford you insurance. Well, company's not providing you any
right.
Insurance.
You're not no getting benefits. No benefits. Right. Okay, so you don't get. You have no pension benefits or no health benefits out of that in all likelihood.
Right.
So the median. What we need to address is the median family, and looking at all this gross data, looking at gross GDP, okay, looking at that, looking at average income growth, even looking at the, if you look at the median income and the wealth growth there, the Wall Street Journal said, hey, the median family's got an increase in wealth of, and then the number was ridiculous. It was like $2,000 increase
in
their wealth, okay?
Yeah.
Wealth is how much stored value they have that would include value in a car, value in a house, whatever, okay?
Right.
$2,000 is not stored wealth.
Well, $2,000 will barely get you through the winter with your gas bill.
Yeah,
your heating bill.
Yeah.
So, you know, those things are not believable to me. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. First, we the people ultimately are the government, and people like Cindy and others that are waking up are actually starting to see how we do need to put a tax on the uber wealthy, the morbidly rich. But Sandy, what I'd like to do, actually, if you and Earl can do it, is just to compare the rural to the more metropolitan community. I, for one, have lived in both areas of the country. And grew up in the town of 2000, as you know, and living in Los Angeles now. And I would say that part of what you talk about with the $65,000, there's people in the rural area that, just for an example, the grandma will take care of the children, so therefore that child care burden is kind of off of that person. And people like Scott Walker and people like that that use the divide and conquer strategy and say, well, why isn't the mother staying home with the children and this and that, and how in the rural area people are, you know, they are a little bit more self-sustaining because they are helping each other out. So they kind of are running their own kibbutz, whether they like to know it or not, because they're helping family members help family members, rather than in the bigger cities. We need something called government to be able to help people, because people can't do it all by themselves. So I just think it's something that we need to dig deep into and look at. And instead of looking at it like we're two separate animals, the rural versus the suburban, and look at it as, no, we both have the same exact needs, and we both have the same exact problems.
Well, I think that's true, but I'm not sure that rural America doesn't have a bunch of problems itself to face. One of the things is that median income includes metropolitan area income. And what is true is that incomes in the metropolitan area are higher than the incomes in rural areas, in at least in today's world. Back in the day when there were paper worker unions around the state and electrical worker unions around the state, and unionized labor was maybe more predominant in some of the smaller metropolitan areas of the city, of the state, this wasn't true. But I think it is true today. And secondarily, I think the problem with the dislocation of jobs is felt more severely in the rural areas, because finding the new job requires that you pick up your roots, relocate, and you're put into a sociological difficult condition in terms of also losing grandmother to take care of your kids and the rest of it. So I think you're right. I think the main thing we should focus on is that we're all in it together. We all face problems in this economy, and there are many, many of us who are living at or below median income, or are living in a situation where we are not participating in the prosperity.
All right, we've got to go to a break. Richland Center, Amory, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Hayward, Racine, La Crosse, Eau Claire, and others. You can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
It's rivalry week as Carroll University football travels to Kenosha to play the Firebirds of Carthage for the Old Musket Trophy this Saturday, October 28th. The Pioneers earned the musket the last 2 years, with a win could bring it home to Waukesha for the third year in a row. Catch all of the action live with Don and Johnny. Pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 1. Carroll at Carthage for one of the oldest rivalries this Saturday on The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft.
We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Shaw, WAUK. The time, all the time, you say that you need me. Say you need me. You'll always be mine, always be mine. I'm feeling glad all over inside my, glad all over, baby. I'm glad all over, so glad you're mine. I'll make you happy.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, they got it done. They thought it could never get done. But the Republicans pulled a rabbit out of the hat, and they got the right guy. They say
the speaker.
Yeah,
yeah. Who everyone had to Google to figure out who this person is and where he's from. Louisiana. Okay, what's he done? Well, he's pretty fresh in Congress. He hasn't done much. He hasn't been in a leadership role. And the answer, the Republican answer, that yeah, that was good because he hadn't burned many bridges in the process of trying to accomplish anything. And so there they got him. They got a speaker. He's a MAGA Republican who was one of the organizers behind the notion of not certifying Joe Biden as the winning nominee for president.
So his name is Mike Johnson, and the thing to be concerned about, Sandy, is nobody else wanted it. So the guy who takes it, you got to figure he must be wet behind the ears. He's got to be a guy who doesn't understand there's no win in that seat, right?
Wrong animal, but pin the tail on the donkey, right? Pin the tail on the donkey.
Yeah. So this guy is young. He's got it. He's going to realize that just because he's there, the divide that's still there is still there between.
Yeah, I don't understand exactly why the Republican caucus thinks that somehow this guy is going to be capable of stitching together, you know, doing the butterfly stitch to put the wound back together so it doesn't open up again.
Yeah, he's a new guy, for heaven's sakes. And when you think about all of the issues that are going on, he says right away, I've got an idea with the budget, and you know, and all, well, it's sounds great, right?
Yeah.
You know, there hasn't been one guy, and I'm going back to what was it, John Boehner and Paul Ryan. And politically savvy people, you know, and the latest guy, why am I forgetting his name? Republican.
Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say Kevin McCarthy was politically savvy, but he had been around the block a few times, right? This guy is new. And they knew, well, I think what happened was, you know, my assessment, they could no longer not have a guy there. They were taking too many arrows, too many hits, Sandy, and somebody told them, hey, We can't hold this off.
Well, I suspect that his lack of gravitas was something that attracted, because both sides, you know, the moderate side and the stridently conservative side probably thought that he'd be too weak to essentially line people up against them. And so things inside the caucus probably are status quo. And outside the caucus, they have a speaker. And so they've at least put a bandage on that sore.
Yeah, I mean, because when you look at all the things that are going on, and the finger is being pointed at them that we can't get anything accomplished, anything done, they finally realized, hey, we're doing some permanent damage to the brand, right?
Well, the Congress has been remarkably good at getting nothing done for quite a long time.
Right.
But they didn't have as obvious a reason for not getting it done as not having a speaker. So they've gotten rid of the obvious reason for deadlock and gridlock. But I'm not sure that they've gotten over gridlock.
Well, no, they clearly haven't gotten over the gridlock. And, you know, at least this is one less thing to look at with all the other issues that we're going to be talking about in the next hour, but that are going on, you know, all over the world right now, Sandy. I don't, you know.
Well, here's what I think. Just to get quickly back to this whole median family thing, if I'm that median family and I'm watching what's going on and I'm having all the trouble I'm having meeting my daily obligations and wanting government to solve some of my problems for me because they've created them, like a healthcare system that is way too expensive and inaccessible, or a daycare system that doesn't provide assistance to my young children, or an education system that's expensive and it leaves me with debts, and I can't send my kids to after secondary school without afford it, a pension that I can't get.
I can't afford a house anymore.
I can't afford a house anymore because of the situation. That's it. The reason I can't afford a house is I've got all these collateral expenses that didn't used to exist for you and me. We didn't have the problem of no benefits.
Right.
Okay. And so if I'm that family, I'm pretty angry by all this. And I hope that those families out there are going to start holding their politicians' feet to the fire and say, hey, you know what? Get to work and solve my problem.
Well, Sandy, and just around the corner is the big election, and all of these things are going to be fresh in the minds of people, right? Because they're feeling that pain today.
Yeah, but the only reason that's being talked about publicly right now for getting the speaker is so that they can vote money for Israel and Ukraine, you know, the compelling problems of the day, okay? And those compelling problems of the day, unfortunately, don't solve any of the problems for our median families.
So we're going to be dealing with that on the other side. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. You two can join us. We'll be right back.
Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained.
This is The Shaw,
540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.